Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lama, ding-dong, rock and roll is king.
The world has caught a virus, so I've written you a poem. We need your help to cure it, so stay the f*** at home. And if you have got 12 kids or you're living on your own, lock it down and isolate and stay the f*** at home. If you think you're not at risk here, you're living in a dome. It spreads faster than a hooker's leg, so stay the f*** at home. I need the gym, I need the beach, I hear you bitch and moan. You need to grow a brain cell and stay the f*** at home. But I feel fine, I don't feel sick. I'll go out on my own. How thick are you, you selfish prick? Please just stay the f*** at home. From L.A. through to Berlin, from Wuhan through to Rome, there's people dying every day, so stay the f*** at home. If you need to contact family, use Facebook, Skype, or phone. We've got the f***ing internet, so stay the f*** at home. The only way to slow it down is isolate, not roam. Please help the world get back on track and stay the f*** at home. Stay the f*** at home, stay the f*** at home. Don't you be a f***ing dick, please stay the f*** at home. Stay the f*** at home.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. John Wallach sits in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Is that the Capitol steps?
No, that is this old dude who looks like... Oh, I mean, he's just like, big-ass white beard. Looks like he's about 90. He looks like Vermin Supreme almost, but he's even older and more withered.
Okay, because that seemed like the guy in PBS that plays like...
What would it be like? Bill Clinton went to town looking for Lewinsky. You know, the guy who does like the parodies of songs about the government. Yes, that's the Capitol Steps guy. Yes,
yes, and that's who I thought that might have been going into it. Well, I hope everyone had a fantastic weekend and enjoyed themselves. I saw a documentary on enforcers in the NHL, which I think is worth checking out, and how much they hate doing it, and how they talk. They make a good point. They say that boxers fight two or three times a year with gloves, and then, you know, some of these guys were fighting 30 times a year with bare knuckles. And so they were talking about knowing all day and having to sit there and worry about having to fight all day. And there was one guy, he's an old-timer, I wish I wrote down his name, who he made the team strap his hands in, his arms in, while they were flying, because he would get into such a spastic rage that he was afraid he was going to hit people next to him. So he had him strap his hands down.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
What's the name of this documentary? Where'd you find it?
It's on Netflix.
Okay. Mm.
So it's right there on Netflix. If you have any balls, it will be suggested for you.
What is it called?
I don't know. Some enforcer movie. on Netflix.
You see, then I'm just going to get the Denzel Washington film. Isn't that what it's called? It's The Equalizer.
Yeah.
There's got to be some cheesy action movie called The Enforcer. Yeah, I guarantee you there is.
It was suggested to me. And then the kid that made Goon, and he, you know, the kid that's in the
Jay
Seth
Baruchel. Isn't that his name?
I don't know.
He's the Canadian kid. He was in She's Out of Your League. She was in This Is the End.
Wasn't the Enforcer a Dirty Harry movie?
It was. Yep. Okay. That is. I just looked it up. Sure enough. That is Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry, the Enforcer.
I'm being told it might be called Ice Guardians, is what I'm being told it might be called.
Okay.
It's one of those things that they suggest on Netflix. Who the hell knows what the name of it is?
Dude, Netflix, it's half of its Boss Baby that my kids end up watching. So I don't know. They suggest like kids shows. So
I have four accounts. very little crossbreeding of the shows that are recommended. So, and my kids don't even. All of my son has been watching, aside from playing on the weekends, hours and hours of Fortnite, has been Doogie Howser MD. So, got a lot of Doogie going on in the house. Got a lot of Saved by the Bell. Got a lot of that going on.
Well, Saturday night was one of those things that a lot of the women are doing now, and that is the little happy hour where they get all their friends on Zoom and they talk for hours upon hours. Your wife's done that, right, Fred?
She does it almost every night.
Yeah, my wife's done it several times with different groups of friends. It's not all at once because everyone's got different groups. And so Saturday night was one, so that was I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to watch a bunch of stuff that she wouldn't want to watch. So finally, almost, 8-9 months late, I finally watched Joker. How macabre, how spooky was he in that film? Boy,
so you
was
thought
that
it was
over
corny.
The top.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It's not that I didn't like it. It's that, first of all, it was predictable. And anyone who was like, oh, you'll be shocked by the ending, I'm like, you saw from a million miles away what was going to happen. But, like, how many scenes do you have to have of him dancing and slowly moving his arms to and fro? How the hell was that up for Best Picture?
I have no idea, because I thought the same thing. It was one of those ones that it's, like, embarrassing to watch because he, like, threw himself into it so much.
Well, he's a good actor, but, like, yeah. I mean, there were scenes where, like, he did something very violent and he ran away from it, and then he just locks himself in this bathroom, and then it's, like, 5 minutes of him just, like, dancing in front of the mirror, and you're like, dude, I know what you're going for. And you know what this is? It's like when someone, like a director sees like a movie that's truly disturbing and says, I can do that, and it ends up just being ridiculous. Like, he's like, oh, this is me losing my mind. Society, I am a victim. All of you are the people who have made me this way. And I'm just like, this is the dumbest message, the stupidest movie. I mean, it really was dumb. And like, the thing that made me kind of even like a little more, I don't want pissed, but just a little more like perplexed, is that there were legitimate good movies that came out this year. Like, the best pictures, the stuff that was nominated were really good. Like, Parasite's a really good film. I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Apparently 1917 is excellent. And for this to be, like, in the same breath as all those films was just, it was such a stupid, really, the more I think about it, the stupider that movie is. Oh, I'm dancing. Everyone wants to be a clown. I mean, one scene after the next, I would sit there watching this. I'm like, all right, when is it going to get truly twisted? Like, when is this going to become unpredictable like people have heard and told me it's going to be? And it just never really got there. I'm like, that's a movie, people think that movie is twisted who think that the Insane Clown Posse are twisted. Like, who have never seen any movies. Like, if you think that movie's twisted, let me sit down and show you a couple films that you'll truly think are twisted. You've obviously never seen a Stanley Kubrick film in your life, and that's like mainstream twisted. Like, if you think that movie was like, will shake your bones and give you nightmares, you've literally seen nothing before. I mean, you're somebody who, you know, has watched the Marvel movies, and that's probably it. If you think Joker is a twisted film, I don't know. I at least it was entertaining because it was so cheesy at times. I mean,
yeah. I mean, when he's dancing on the stairs, that is something to behold. I mean, when he's dancing on the stairs and he's like, look at me. I mean, I started laughing. Like, I laughed at a few times during that movie. Just that, like, okay, this is this is pretty dumb. This is a dumb thing that we're viewing right now.
I don't know what pictures they've got on somebody to make that up for best picture. I could see you nominating Joaquin Phoenix because he's a good actor. And you know what? He went all in and he got all bony. And if you get all bony, you usually get nominated for something. He lost like a lot of weight. And he
said he didn't eat. He only drank alcohol.
The opening scene of the movie where he's sitting there with the clown makeup and he grabs his cheeks to make a smile, but he's really crying on the inside. It's just like, oh, are you kidding me? It's so stupid. Like, it's every dumb cliche about, oh, it's the clowns are really the most twisted ones, aren't they? They wear a smile on the outside, but murderous on the in. It was just so dumb. And you know what? And I know that he's like, I've said he was only going to do a one-off, but apparently he's going to do like a second one. I knew it was going to suck. And I knew it was going to suck because it's the director of The Hangover, which the first Hangover was really good. But after I saw the next two, they were so awful. So awful that I'm like, there's no way this guy can make a good serious movie. And I was right. But at least it was entertaining because it was so cheesy that it was good. So there you go, Fred. I finally, 9 months later, got to see Joker. And I wish I would have destroyed it on the air the first time it came out because this is a way too late of a take. But man, that movie was just really stupid.
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, the whole thing was douche chills funny. Yeah, that was about it. So go watch the Enforcer documentary. That's what I suggest to you. It's got...
called Ice Pirates.
Yes, Ice Pirates, the only movie I've ever walked out of.
You were like six when that came out.
Yep. I just was like, this is terrible. And walked out, Ice Pirates. Who did that? Was that one of those Monty Python
garbage? No. That was Robert Urich, I think, was the head ice pirate. I think it was Spencer for Hire. I think was the main ice pirate.
John's telling you no, and he would know.
No, it can't be. Robert Urich wouldn't be associated with a bad movie like that.
It was somebody like that, like because it was like a parody of like space movies before Spaceballs came out.
It was Robert Urich.
Ah, oh, Spencer for Hire.
John Matuszak. John Matuszak is in this as well.
That shows you all you need to know.
That's right.
John Matuszak was Sloth from the Goonies, right?
No. I just saw actually some. I just saw the guy that was Sloth from the Goonies. I don't know. I've been at home and seen a bunch of stuff.
No, Sloth was John Matuszak.
Football player?
Yep, yeah. Sloth from the Goonies was John Matuszak. And I think John Matuszak was also Jason in a couple movies. I might be wrong about that one, but he was Sloth from the Goonies.
What are you going to do? All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Oh, well, it looks like Tom Brady can't get enough of the Patriots, even though he is not a member anymore, and what the beginning of the NBA season might end up looking like.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Right, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on in the world of sports? So much.
You know, you can almost hear Cinderella's Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone playing in the background. As yesterday, Tom Brady posted a picture on his Instagram of him watching a replay of Super Bowl 51 that was airing on TV. The score when he posted it, 28-3. With 8:31 left in the third quarter, his caption was, "Why am I nervous?" Well, because you just signed with a team with the worst winning percentage in NFL history, I'd be fairly nervous too. But Brady also made sure to tag Danny Amendola yesterday as well, who now plays for the Lions in his next Instagram story. I saw a lot of people live tweeting that replay yesterday, including Scott Zolak. It's like, are they going to win? But that's one of the few games that I could actually rewatch, because at the time I found it truly hard to enjoy what was happening. It was like so improbable what they pulled off there that it almost didn't hit me how ridiculously everything played out until about a month later. I know that on paper that's going to go down as one of the greatest Super Bowls ever, but I enjoyed the Malcolm Butler at the goal line win much better just because of how the game unfolded and the enjoyability factor of it. That last half of the game was so unbelievably stressful to watch that I didn't even find it that fun at the time. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It was like you watch it, and it's like one ridiculous thing after the next, after the next, after the next, and like that catch that Edelman had was obviously crazy. The way that they were able to Dante Hightower strip sack, the dumb decisions that the Falcons continued to make, like one after the next, and you couldn't believe it was all going on. That you knew at any moment, like the Falcons would just do one thing right, just simply one thing right, and it would all be over with. But that's one of the few ones. Everyone's replaying all those things, and that's one of the few ones that I actually wouldn't mind watching the end of, now that you know the ending. Well, speaking of Malcolm Butler, the Malcolm Butler game, our own Mason Souza, who's been filling in for Mike Lockhart this week, he jumped onto a live chat that Devin and Jason McCourty were doing with the fans. I think that's part of their double coverage podcast that they do. And he asked them once again about the biggest question of Belichick's tenure as coach of the Patriots.
Before I go, thank you guys again. And I don't want to get you guys in trouble. That's the last thing I want to do.
Get him in trouble.
But I know, Devin, you were there. Jason, you weren't on the team yet. Can you give us any little hints? It's burning in every Patriots fan's minds and hearts. Why didn't Malcolm play in the defensive snaps, guys?
Still out there. As a team, we talked about it. We had to move on and give ourselves a chance that next season, because it felt like one of those things that, like, if you answered it over and over and over again, that it would bring down our 2018 team. So I hated that it happened, but I was very happy for Malcolm the next year to go to Tennessee, sign a big deal, come in undrafted free agent, you go sign a $60 million deal. That's what it's all about. So I was happy for him.
That's not called an answer.
That's called talking in circles is what
that
is.
That is not it. Yeah, that's
impressive.
Yeah, so much for the podcast.
38 seconds of nothing.
Yeah.
That's good. That was you saying, hey, look this way. There's something over there.
That's right.
Now let's go back over here. And maybe you think we answered your question.
What was it you said again?
Yeah, it's like, huh? Okay.
That doesn't scream, hey, listen to me.
Yeah.
Just says kind of like, oh, yeah. It's going to be very guarded on what we talk about.
It must be really bad. Whatever happened,
I know.
I mean, everyone has talked in circles. Everyone who's ever been asked about this, even when they've left the team, has talked in circles about this. Whatever happened that week between Malcolm Butler and the team, whether it be Bill Belichick's kid, which was a wild rumor for a while, it must be really, really bad.
All these years later, the fact that we still don't know the truth is just fascinating. I mean, you're going to have to wait for all these guys to retire for anyone to talk, because I'm sure that there's some sort of fear that each one of them has that if they say anything, they'll get blackballed. Because you're right, John, it does seem to be that bad. You know, the fact that no one has even leaked anything out, it seems that it's really, really bad. And I'll never get over that. Like, I'll never not want to know the answer to that question. Because it was the greatest coach of all time making the most egregious coaching decision in the history of the Super Bowl, arguably in the history of the sport, because it lasted the entire game. There's been people who have made bad decisions on certain plays or in certain, like, you know, sets of downs. But the fact that you needed him at halftime and you could have made an adjustment and you still didn't just goes down as the most head-scratchingly most awful call by a coach that I've I think in Super Bowl in NFL history, actually, you could probably put out there. So there you go. Another non-answer. We'll have to wait several more years to find out the truth. Well, speaking of Patriots corners, Stephon Gilmore says that he isn't surprised that Tom Brady signed elsewhere. He said, quote, in an interview, a player like him playing somewhere that long, you never could see it, but it shows you that in the NFL, it can be anyone going somewhere. It's a business, and that's how you have to look at it. Now, as for Jarrett Stidham, Gilmore says that he's a fan. He said, quote, he came in and worked hard and got better and better as the year went on. He has a strong arm. He made some tough throws, definitely made it hard on me in practice each and every week, going against whoever I was covering, making some great throws. It allowed me to get better in practice to prepare for the games. So there you go. The Stiddy era has indeed begun.
Stiddy!
Everyone loves Stids.
By the way, a lot of rumors Gilmore is going to be moved.
Well, that was an interesting.
He's going to be traded.
That was an interesting article that Ben Volen put out there, and he makes a decent point. He's like, if you are truly looking to relaunch this team and start from the ground up and rebuild something, you know, this team doesn't have. I mean, they've got what, two picks in the top 96 or something like that. So he said the one piece right now that you could move and get some decent pick capital would be Stephon Gilmore.
Decent. And you'd get at least a first-round pick and something else for the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep, no question. And on top of that, you would also do, well, Bill would be doing something that he's known to do, and that is trading a guy before, you know, you're supposed to. You know, get the most value out of him, and what is he, 30 now? So, you know, that's not something that would be a dumb move. I think that but that would definitely be an assertion or a revealing that, yeah, they are completely, they've got no bones that they are starting from the ground up and trying to rebuild this thing. Not just at the quarterback position, but all around. So, I mean,
question,
who knows?
Well, hold on. The question is, are they rebuilding or reloading? There's a difference. If they're rebuilding, then yeah, you trade Gilmore. He's going to be, I checked it, Rich, he's going to be 30 in September. Okay. I mean, if you are going to trade him, you have to do it soon, because cornerbacks aren't usually lockdown guys at the ages of 33, 34, and 35. So if you're going to trade him, you have to do it soon. I think, honestly, this is a reload. I think you stay with the defense that you have, and you're not going to go 4-12 and then 5-11 and then 8-8. I think this is maybe you take a small step back this year, but then you come back in 2021 hard with all the cap space you have.
The other thing, too, is that, and I didn't realize this until I saw Volen write it, but I guess that the Patriots have the second least amount of cap space. It's like $1 million, and the Chiefs have the worst. But, I mean, you want to talk about freeing up some cap space, you get rid of a guy who's got the richest – he's got to have the richest contract on the team, right? Other than what's his name? Tooney, who just got franchised. Right. I would think that both of them are probably up there. I forget which one's got the most. But Gilmore would be freeing up a ton of room as well. So
Tooney's $15 million guaranteed this year.
Yeah.
Let's see. The cap number for Gilmore is almost $20 million.
Okay. So, yeah. Year. So he's got to have the most on the team. So there you go. I mean, it doesn't seem like a dumb move. If you were to do that, but it just would mean that they, as you said, they are going to rebuild this whole thing from the ground up. And if you want some dirt, ooh, get ready. I got some dirt for you. I got a direct message from someone who says he has a family member who is close to a certain player's agent. And the word is, talks between Cam Newton's camp and the Patriots have been picking up all this past week.
For how much money? You just got through saying they have no cap room. They can't even sign over their draft picks they have coming up.
Nobody wants Cam Newton. You get him for nothing.
Jesus.
That is a direct message from a guy who says he knows someone who knows someone who knows the agent of Cam Newton. So guess what? Uh-huh. It's happening. Get all ready. Right. You heard it here on the Toucher and Rich Show first.
Okay.
Hashtag old takes exposed. Get ready, because I'll put it in your face.
Wait, so it was a guy who DM'd you who knew a guy who knew the agent of Cam Newton.
He has a friend who went to school with the agent of Cam Newton. And he says that Cam Newton's camp and the Patriots, there have been talks that picked up a lot last week. And by the way, Cam Newton, he is motivated. He's inspired. Did you see that workout video? He goes, they left me for dead. They neglected me. He said that he feels he was done wrong. It was the only time I could understand what he was saying, because he wasn't typing it in some weird Sanskrit thing that he found on his Twitter account. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know how you get to that font on your computer, but he somehow did it. That would be fun, though, getting Cam Newton here for a year, watching him play two games and then get hurt and not play the rest of the season.
Yeah. Scrambling out of the pocket, taking sacks he doesn't need to take.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just, yeah, rolling out, trying to pick up that first down, not sliding.
Nope.
Yeah, and then just getting his knees taken out of him. Yep, that's good. That's good stuff.
He's a big fan of the Wingding font.
I don't, is this on Twitter that he does this?
Oh, yeah. So you haven't seen the stuff he's been putting out since he was released?
No.
He's like bitching out the team and he's all angry, but he's doing it in this like strange font that is, you really have to go through letter by letter to read what he's trying to say. Like the letter C would be like a sense sign, and like an, you know, like a, the pound would sign would be like the L. Dude, it's weird.
It looks like a ransom note someone put together with rubber gloves.
Yeah, and it will take like for you to read an entire tweet, it will take you about a good 3 minutes to decipher it.
Wow, how mysterious this man is.
Wow. Like, you know, only Ernie Adams can, he knows the kind of language. Maybe he's perfect for Ernie Adams. He's cracked the code.
No, Ernie Adams, he ain't on Twitter. He likes to keep it underground. He's like
he's
Sebastian
everywhere.
At the old stage.
He's everywhere, Fred.
That's right. Well, he might be keeping an eye on things, but he ain't putting any info out there. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up after the headlines?
Well, we have a little bit of an idea now of what it would look like for the beginning of the new NBA season, and an amazing idea that someone has come up with to give us some sports in the coronavirus era.
All right, we will have that after the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
There we go. Time and temperature brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need. It is 38 degrees at 637. No one should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your coverage so you only pay for what you need.
Don't you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on in the world of big-time sports here?
Well, some good news in the basketball world. Yesterday, Marcus Smart announced on Twitter that he is corona-free as of 2 days ago. He said, quote, he was cleared by the Mass Department of Health. Thanks for everyone's thoughts and prayers. And I'm doing the same for everyone that's been affected by this. Stay safe and stay together. Apart. Much love. On the other side of the coin, Knicks owner and notorious bluesman, James Dolan, he has tested positive for the coronavirus. And of course, I saw a million tweets saying that this is the first time in years the name James Dolan and the word positive have been written in the same sentence. According to Knicks Twitter, quote, he has been in self-isolation and is experiencing little to no symptoms other than the blues.
That's right. He can't stop gigging.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, is that, you know, you can't ask that man to not go out and play for the people.
Well,
that's,
he continues. They're saying he's continuing to oversee business operations. But, Fred, something tells me we're getting a little sweet coronavirus tune out of this one. What makes me think, you know, listen, isolation brings inspiration, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to be now he's finally got the coronavirus blues. By the way, have you seen how far into your nose they have to do that test?
Yeah, they jam it into your brain.
Yeah, it's like all the way back in your nasal passage.
You read a flu test before where they do that?
Yes.
Yeah, that sucks.
I have not.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That
just
is...
had it done a couple of months ago, and I had to take a couple of days out. They stick that cotton swab way, way, way up your nose. It's awful.
Like, I don't know how people don't, like, freak out and, like, because my head, like, your instant reaction is just to rip your head away. But I don't know how some people don't accidentally, like, move their head so much that it, like, it goes into their eyeball or something. I mean, it gets way in there, and your first reaction is just to do everything you can just to get that thing out of there. And sometimes they have to hold your head so you don't move it. So, no,
well,
it
goes,
sucks.
Like, back by your ear.
Yeah.
Like, it goes all the way through your nose back towards your ear. So that's what how they're testing for the Rona.
Mm-hmm.
I just like how everyone, like James Dolan got the test. Just everyone gets the test. I finally know someone who has it, the coronavirus. It took this long, but I know a guy who has it.
Yeah, I unfortunately know some hospital employees who got it while dealing with it. I mean, that sucks. I mean, when you've got like people who are trying to treat you for it and they're all getting it, I mean... You know, just makes it that much worse for the people at the hospital. I mean, by the way, a lot of those nurses and doctors right now, I just saw the story this morning, they're being asked to take pay cuts through all this. I mean, it is, and they still don't have the supplies that they need. This country messed that whole thing up. But listen.
Yes. Read the New York Times yesterday. The main story will frustrate you a little bit in terms of how the country responded to this. But the guy I know who has it woke up with like a high fever, and then he went in and got tested, and but he's not, it's not that bad for him. I mean, for some people it's terrible, but for him it's not that bad.
So is he just like staying in his own room at home?
No, he's running around. No, yeah, he's self-quarantined.
Okay.
So, I think he's in contact with his family, so maybe his family's going to get it, but I don't know. So, there you go. I finally know someone who has it.
Well, if the NBA season does continue at some point, can it just start back up again? Most of the players don't seem to think so. It would take a bit of time to ramp things up, and LeBron James says a few things would have to happen before the first actual game could be played.
Random real question. If the season started, they said everything was fine, how many games do you think it would take for you guys to get back going?
For the playoffs or just yeah, like get back?
Like they were like, listen, we're going straight to the playoffs. You I guys mean, get yeah. three exhibition games. Would that
no,
be enough?
Man, I think so we've been off with a week and a half now. Yeah.
16 games.
Yeah, so I think maybe 1.5-2 weeks of a little mini training camp, and then 5 to 10 games.
Ooh. Wow!
And to get ready for the playoffs, like
oh right.
Because I mean, if we're just talking about figuring, if we're talking about like finishing the regular season, then you don't need that much. You know, you could do a week of training camp and then get back into it.
That was Channing Frye, by the way, asking that question. First of all, anyone who thinks that there's going to be any regular season games that they're going to play, that's not going to happen. So they would start right with the playoffs if they did start. But think about that. You know, someone like LeBron James, who does have a lot of power in the league, thinks that you would probably have more than likely 3 to 4 weeks of ramp up before you could actually have gameplay. He wants the 2 weeks of training camp and then 5 to 10 exhibition games. So that to me says 3.5-4 weeks. So even if this whole thing was ready to go, you know, the middle of June, you're looking at the middle of July until you actually see the playoffs, which I wouldn't have a problem with. I think that sounds to be a fairly optimistic, realistic time to have that, and if it's abbreviated, even better. So I just think that anyone who thinks it's going to start right back up, as we talked about with baseball and pitchers, you know, I guess apparently the other leagues want to have that warm-up time as well, which makes sense because the playoffs are obviously important. I don't think I'd have a problem with that.
Well, the Players Association with baseball surprisingly is open to doing the doubleheaders in the season and jamming a bunch of stuff in. So in extending the season, I would. You know, after Youkilis and all those guys bitching so much about not having any days off, supposedly the Players Association in baseball is open to the idea.
Well, Fred, is it because they're psyched about the extra workload, or is it because it means more jobs for major league players?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm surprised that they're willing to do that. So, let's play two.
Okay.
Will be something that you'd be hearing a lot. Mm-hmm. Hey, boys, let's play two. And then you can get Dan. And that means day games.
Mm-hmm.
And that means mm-hmm. good for us because we can go to day games.
That's right. Good for you. You can hang out with your buddy Danny Roach for at least one of those.
Absolutely. Unless he's got, you know, the big-time news that night. That's but he could point. Still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, me and him hanging out, having some fun. If they do a bunch of doubleheaders, that rules. Because that means businessman specials all the time, which is very, very nice for us. The businessman special.
Well, the Big Three League has partnered with the producers of the reality show Big Brother, and what they are doing, what they're going to do, rather, is create a quarantined reality show basketball tournament. Now, here are some of the parameters the league is setting up for the show. Number one, anyone living in the house must test negative for the coronavirus beforehand. Number two, the players and officials together will be quarantined under the same roof. Number three, the tournament will take place over 3 weeks among 16 players, and anyone who breaks the quarantine will be dismissed from the show. And number four, the winner will receive a seven-figure cash prize. Ooh. So according to reports, the set is being built as we speak in Los Angeles. Paul Pierce was on The Jump, and he asked if he'd watch this, and he said he might even do more than that.
I absolutely will watch this. We are all thirsty in the world for some kind of sports. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about even playing in it. Seven figures, 3 weeks quarantine. I've already been quarantined for 3 weeks. That's nothing. You know what? Rumor has it that it will be done in Los Angeles. And being that I do live in Los Angeles would make it very convenient for me. It's something that I'm happily going to give some thought to.
I love this idea. You get all of them living together for 3 weeks, and there's a basketball tournament. And you know what? He's right. I think you might get, because, you know, the Big Three, who's the biggest name they've got in the Big Three right now? Other than, of course, Brian Scalabrine.
Big Baby Davis.
Okay, Big Baby Clinton Davis. But I think that you would actually get players that normally wouldn't be in the Big Three. If it's just for 3 weeks, and you're like a reality show star, and you could win $1 million... I could see people of, like, Paul Pierce's level, like recent retirees doing this. I'd be all in on watching that. Well, first of all, it's sports in the middle of May, so I think everyone's going to want to watch that. But this is happening. This is something they're building a set with. They're looking to get players right now. You guys would be into that, right?
Sure. I'd watch that.
What network?
The Big Three, I think, has Fox as an affiliate, and maybe FS1, also on top of that, I think Big Brother, I mean, I don't know if it would be the same thing, but they're on CBS. So, I mean, I bet the networks would be dying to get the rights to any kind of sports that are live. But, I mean, I imagine all of these guys living together and then having this. Dude, I would be all in on this. I don't see any downside to it.
I don't know. I saw that on the East Coast that this was supposed to peak on May 1st. So by the middle of May, we might be free.
No, it's going to take a while. You know, peak and then be to where you can, you know, everyone can return to normal are two different things. You know, peak is just that it's as bad as it gets. But think about how long it would have taken to get to May from everyone being quarantined. That's how long it's going to take to get back to normalcy.
I don't know. There's going to have to be a point where they think of the economy. So I don't know. I'm not positive that we're going to be in quarantine through May. But so if we are, who knows what I'll watch. If we aren't, I'm not watching it. So that's where we're going
to
be.
Whether you have a life as opposed to not having a life.
Right. If I have no life, then maybe I've burned through everything that I've watched, then I will check this out. But if I do have a life, some speck of an existence that's at all interesting, then I will not watch this thing. So there you go. I mean, so we'll see.
I mean, we'll see. You, it's funny. It's, you know, I know you say that about the economy. It's got to get back sometime. But did you hear about what university is it? Jerry Falwell University? What's the, it's the religious guy?
Liberty.
Liberty University. Yeah. So they said, oh, it's cool. Everyone can come back to school now. And apparently, there's like a breakout of coronavirus now because they opened back up the school.
So all right.
So like you can say we got to open up the economy, but you can't open it up if people are going to en masse get the coronavirus because then it didn't. I mean, if everybody's sick, they're not going to be able to spend money anyway.
You still have to wait. You still have people going to, I mean, Zolak tweeted about people going to Castle Island and stuff. I mean, just people still haven't figured it out. So I don't know if it'll peak on May 1st because people are being dumb about this.
That video was astounding. The one at Castle Island this weekend. What a bunch of idiots. Yes. They show the overhead shot and everyone's eating at Sullivan's and they're sitting together on these picnic tables.
Exactly.
I mean, those are just... And they're screwing it for all of us.
Right.
They're screwing it for everybody.
More people do this, the longer we're all inside. I mean, I don't understand.
Joe went to Castle Island. Pasta Joe, if you follow him on Twitter.
Okay.
He went to Castle Island.
Well, he went outdoors. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, there's parts of Tennessee that haven't closed their bars, so you're thinking to yourself, oh, great. Why do I have to sit inside while you get to go to bars so you can make this thing last longer than it has to? But I don't know. I've been bullish on this ending sooner than you guys think. But who knows? Who knows?
Even the president's not bullish anymore. Like he said April 30th. No, it's not Easter anymore. Because it's going to peak around Easter in a lot of places. So we're going to move it back to the end of April, all the way through April.
Right. So, April 30th. So
and then you had Fauci on TV saying that like 100,000 to 200,000 people could die. And you're like, all right, well, that's not the news we want to hear right now.
I don't know, 320 million people. I'm just kidding. All right, Rich, when we come back, what we talk about?
We'll get to some of the interesting things that have happened with Rhode Island regarding the coronavirus.
All right, we will be back in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an offseason.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Toucher.
I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
So last week we talked about how the state of Rhode Island was going to have troopers at the border who, if they saw a license tag that was from New York, they were going to stop them. I guess they were going to write down their information and tell them if they were staying in Rhode Island that they had to quarantine for 14 days. I guess the state of Florida is doing the exact same thing. That was until Mr. Cuomo, Governor Cuomo of New York, came on television and said, I don't believe that this is legal. It certainly isn't neighborly. And he threatened to sue the state of Rhode Island. And you know what? He's right. So the governor of Rhode Island is no longer singling out motorists from New York and saying just everyone needs to quarantine who comes into the state to stay. So no longer just singling out New York, just, hey, everyone do it.
Well, when there was the thing where Trump wanted to make it so you know, no one in New York, Connecticut, or Jersey,
yeah,
like couldn't leave their house. Cuomo was like, "Well, that's not legal."
He said, that's declaring war on the states.
Yeah, Trump hinted at it before he stepped on his helicopter. Said, "We're thinking about doing that," and then later, "No, we're not going to do it."
Yeah, it's like you can't in the United States tell people they can't leave their homes. Like that, there's a mandate that you can't leave home. I mean, you can't be doing that. That you can't go outside. Please. You can't be arresting people for going outside.
I think that's called martial law, no?
I would believe so. It doesn't seem to fit in with the idea of a free society.
Well, this is a story that Dan actually sent from the great state of Maine. Apparently, there is an investigation of a report of several armed people who cut down a tree on Friday across a driveway to force someone to quarantine because of the coronavirus outbreak. I guess around 3:30 p.m., a person contacted the U.S. Coast Guard asking for assistance, and the sheriff's office said, they said the caller said several people with guns had cut down a tree and were telling other people to stay quarantined. So I guess they saw a neighbor of theirs just wandering around or not staying in their house. Everyone in the neighborhood got pissed. So they cut down a giant tree to trap them in their home so they couldn't leave.
I think, Rich, real quick, it was that they had come. They were out-of-staters. They weren't maniacs. So they came from somewhere else. But the person that called had to call on, like, a VR radio, like a walkie-talkie. Like, a, you know, they didn't have any phone lines or whatever. So whatever they did.
Maybe it was in that tree.
I know. They were trying to completely isolate these people and saying, you ain't going anywhere. We're going to be standing here at the end of your driveway. We're going to knock down this tree. So...
That's great.
Yeah, they just saw them.
Oh no,
from,
there's a tree in front of the driveway.
Someone from out of state.
How will I navigate around it,
Fred? But you don't understand. It's not just the tree. It's the people with guns who are there too.
That's
the other part of the story.
Yeah, that's that again. It's not exactly live free or die.
Well, social distance. As long as you've got a gun in your hand, then you're A-okay.
Right.
You shoot that disease.
Right. Exactly. You can get it out of there. All right, Rich. We're giving the people a lot of fun, and we will continue that very subject. But first, the headlines, no commercials.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay, greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.